bring me down.
You want this up? Is that good?
No, I'm on. Okay. Can you guys see me? All right. We got some light here. Okay. I mean, the main thing is just being able to hear me. But I guess if you can see and hear at the same time, it really does help. Amen. In fact, we have extra mints here if you guys would like to come and get one, so that way I don't have to throw it. But if you'd like a mint, just come right on at this time if you would. Don't all jump at once. All right. I'm glad to be here tonight with you. I want to turn your attention to the book of Genesis, tonight. And we'll have a time of study, a time of learning, a time of being, I would think, just reaffirmed. There's some things I will say tonight that will be very, very familiar to you, I'm sure. So let's just say that tonight's just going to be a refresher course. Is that all right? You know, sometimes we just need to be reminded, and we need to be refreshed and renewed and so forth. So if you would turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, and I'm going to be reading Genesis, from Genesis chapter 22. All right, Genesis chapter 22. Okay. If you're there, say praise the Lord. All right. Pastor Kyle and his family are in Ocala at this time, and tonight is the first service there in our at our district campground there in Ocala, Florida. The services will continue tomorrow, I think at noon. And then tomorrow night, also Friday and Friday night. And I know some of you already have reservations and are planning to attend those services there. And you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. There's going to be great fellowship, a time of preaching and ministering in the Spirit. And no doubt it will be a great, great help to all who are in attendance. I want to read from the book of Genesis chapter number 22 and I'm going to start with verse number 2. Genesis chapter 22, and I'll begin reading in verse number 2. Now notice, prior to this event, Abraham had heard the voice of God and had separated himself and had come out of his homeland and began to follow the Lord and obey the voice of God. So Abraham had a little experience under his belt prior to this event. He had been walking with the Lord. Somebody say he had been walking with the Lord. And this story unfolds in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 2. And he said, the Lord, he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Notice the Lord said, whom thou lovest. Everybody say, the Lord knows what you love and who you love. And he identified him as the son whom he loved. And get thee into the land of Moriah. Moriah means chosen of God or chosen of Jehovah. So he's calling him and commissioning him to go to a certain place, a place that God chose. Everybody say it's God's choice. And of course, we follow. And then he said, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And as strange as that may sound, The next verse says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, I don't know how you would have responded to that, but as far as what we see here in Scripture, there is no explanation from God. God did not explain himself to Abraham. He just told Abraham to take your son into the land that I'm going to show you and offer him as a burnt offering. And the very next verse says, and Abraham, he just got up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. To our knowledge, Abraham doesn't question God. That tells me he had been walking with the Lord for some time, and he knew and recognized the voice of God. He knew who it was that spoke these words to him. There was no doubt. The questions may have been in his mind, but they didn't come out of his mouth. And Abraham took the two young men and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for burnt offering. And he rose up and he went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, everybody say the third day. Great things happen on the third day. Abraham lifted up his eyes. Somebody say he lifted up his eyes. And he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Somebody say, we're going to worship. And then he said, we're going to come again to you. Now notice there was no choir in the background. There was no Pandora. There was no Holy Ghost radio. There was no praise team that went with them. Somebody say, there was no music. But there was worship. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and pray. Come on, I need the Lord. I want to hear God. I want to receive from the Lord. I'm a child of God. I need my Father. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's open our hearts. Amen. Open our hearts. Open our spirit. Let God talk to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even yield your humanity and let the Holy Ghost quicken your mortal body in this service tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Send your word, Lord. Send your word. Send your word. And oh God, let it fall into fertile soil tonight. Let it fall on fertile ground tonight. Let it fall on good ground tonight. In Jesus' name, we are listening for your voice, Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to give this lesson tonight. I'm going to do a little teaching and a little review. I hope that's all right. But I want to give it a title. And I want to title it this: True Worship is a Lifestyle. True Worship is a lifestyle. It is a way of life. Worship, according to what I have learned and what I've read, worship means to humbly beseech. It means to bow down in obeisance, to give homage. Worship is express. Somebody say express. And I wish I had a slideshow. I could put all these on the screen because I know some of you like to take notes. I love to take notes. I love to learn and retain that knowledge and have understanding. But worship is expressed. Somebody say expressed. Reverent devotion. Somebody shout devotion. And allegiance pledged to God. It is the act of paying honor to a deity. And of course we know who we're talking about. To perform sacred services, to offer gifts, it is an expression of high adoration, reverence, trust, love, loyalty, and dependence upon. Somebody say worship. Now, when I look at this story, and there are many stories in Scripture that you can read about and review and gain understanding. But I don't want to deal with a lot of stories. I just want to kind of narrow and focus in rather on this particular story and just share some things that I have learned, and I believe that it is worth sharing tonight. Look at somebody and say, he's getting ready to share some stuff. Come on, say, he's getting ready to share some stuff. All right. All right. You like to share? Huh? Right, sure you do. What about the last biscuit? Huh? What about the last rib? Amen. Well, what I have observed through this particular story is that we are called by God to worship. Somebody say, we're called to worship. Shout, God called me to worship. Amen. God didn't just call me to be saved, but God called me to worship. I have learned experientially and through studying that worship costs. Somebody say worship costs. And it will involve and require sacrifice. Now, I'm just gleaning from the story here. I'm going to go just point by point. Worship costs, and it will involve and require sacrifice. Worship requires separation. Abram could not truly worship God until he first separated himself from and unto. So, worship requires separation. Worship demands and requires submission. So, if you look at somebody, and they claim to be Christian, and they're not in submission, you can finish the rest. Worship can be very humbling. Somebody say, worship can be very humbling. In fact, true worship is humbling. It is bowing down. It is submitting. Amen. It is surrendering. Worship, when I say worship, I'm not talking about pagan worship or idolatry. I'm talking about worshiping God. All right, so let me just go ahead and set that straight and make sure we're all on the same page here. Worship requires an altar. If you're going to be a worshiper, you have to maintain an altar. We need an altar in our personal lives. Somebody say an altar. Worship also involves the fear of God. Somebody say holy regard, respect, and reverence. Say it one more time. Say worship involves reverence. Shout the fear of God. Worship requires and involves faith. And let me take it a step further to the highest level of faith, and that is trust. So to be a worshiper of God, you must have faith. And you must learn to trust God. And of course, I see that in this particular story. For without faith, none of us could please the Lord. And the Bible says that he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just desire him, but seek him. We all desire him, but how many would take it a step further and begin to seek him? Because if you don't seek him, you will never find him. If there's no hunger, amen, or no thirst, then you'll never be filled. But I know that I am among people tonight that hunger and thirst for God, who is the righteous one, and you shall be filled. Someone shout praise the Lord. So worship does require faith and trust. Worship requires commitment. Somebody say commitment. No doubt this man was already committed to the Lord. And when the Lord spoke to him to take his son, to offer his son on the mountain as a burnt offering, that sounds crazy to me. In fact, if you were to hear those words in your mind and in your spirit, you would probably start rebuking the devil. Am I right? I mean, there's people in prison now that they heard a voice that said, kill your son or kill your daughter or kill the neighbor or whatever. And they did it. But it wasn't the Lord. Say, the Lord's not going to do that and get you in trouble. All right. So wise up. But worship does require commitment. True worship requires commitment. I'm going to take it a step further. Say he's going to go a little further. Giving is worship. Now, I'm talking to believers here tonight. I believe that we're all believers. Just say amen and nod. I believe we're all believers. We believe in God. Amen. We believe that he came in the form of man and revealed the hidden plan. We believe that his name is Jesus. We believe that he became the Lamb. Is that right? Yeah, he's a lion, but he's also the Lamb. He's the first, but he's also the last. He's a great prophet, and he's a high priest. Am I in the church tonight? Of course. So we see here that giving is an expression of worship. Now let me go back and just repeat some things. Worship is expressed reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. It is the act of paying honor, to perform sacred services, and to offer gifts. It is the expression of high adoration, reverence, trust, love, loyalty, and dependence upon. Somebody say worship. And giving is an expression of my worship. Amen. I don't give just so that I can be blessed. I give because I am a worshiper. Somebody say, giving is worship. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his son, his humanity, as an offering. For who? For us. He gave him as a sacrifice. Giving, in accordance to the word of God, is worship. And oh, this is a great one here. You ready for this? Somebody shout, obedience is worship. Come on, shout it one more time. Say, obedience is worship. Come on, one more time. So when you're in a valley, when you're in a hard place, when the enemy and when people are giving you a hard time and peers are putting that negative pressure on you to get you to do something or say something or to respond or react a certain way or go to a certain place that you feel very uncomfortable going, doing, saying, thinking, or etc. What are you going to do? Are you going to obey God or are you going to appease them? You're going to make them happy. You're going to satisfy them or be accepted in their crowd. Somebody shout, obedience is worship. John chapter number 4, we heard about this story last Sunday, and I want to draw a few things from this story. John chapter number 4, and I want to start reading with verse number 20. And this, of course, is the Samaritan woman. She is the woman at the well. I know most of you have heard this story and have read it, but we want to revisit this again. The Samaritan woman, the woman who was at the well, says to Jesus, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, perhaps referring to the same mountain where Abraham offered his son Isaac. And it is believed that Solomon's temple was built in this same mountain. So she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me. Somebody say, you got to believe. You can't go any further until you start believing. Believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He is saying that there is coming a time, an hour, where location will no longer matter. It will no longer be about where you worship. A mountain or Jerusalem. You worship, Jesus said, you know not what. He was telling her, woman, you lack knowledge of the one that you claim to worship. And I think Jesus could say those same words to this generation, to a lot of people, perhaps millions of people. And he would look to them and say, you worship, you know not what. In other words, you lack knowledge of the one that you claim to worship. And he goes on. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And what he was saying was, salvation first came to the Jews. Remember the book of Romans? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's where it started. Salvation first came to the house of Israel, to the Jewish people. But then he continues and says, but the hour cometh and now is. Somebody say he went further. The hour cometh and now is when the true, somebody say true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit. That Greek word is pneuma. It's where we get the word pneumonia. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And truth here, just let me sum this up, is genuinely, honestly, as pertaining to God. Somebody say truth. Jesus said, I am truth. So he says that the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Listen, for the Father seeketh such. He seeketh such to worship him. It doesn't say that he is just seeking worship. It's not saying that he's just seeking for a one-night stand and just a temporal moment, you know, somebody just recognizing him in passing and saying, well, thank God. But he says, I'm looking for such to worship me in spirit and in truth. And let me pause and say, spirit and truth is not a geographical location. I want to say it again. Spirit and truth is not a geographical location. Somebody say, but it's the location of your spirit. It's the location of your heart. It's the posture of your very soul. Hallelujah. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to share something with you, just my own thoughts and my own feelings. I did not come to church just so that I could worship, but I came to church because I am a worshiper. I didn't just come to worship. I came because I am a worshiper. Hallelujah. I can swim, but I'm not considered a swimmer. Hello. Some people can worship like the leper. He worshiped, but he wasn't considered a true worshiper. There was a Canaanite woman that came to Jesus with a problem, and she worshiped in that particular moment, in that particular situation, but she wasn't considered a true worshiper. But the Lord, he is looking for true worshippers. Somebody say true. Shout it loud. Say true worshipers. Who will worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So this, of course, is the standard of God. And you could say it like this. This is God's new standard as far as we are concerned. coming to this understanding. You know, this was new to this woman, this Samaritan woman, because up until this point, we only worship in the mountain and we only worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus is saying there's a new standard, amen, and the new standard is this. God is getting ready to have a worship team that will worship Him in spite of their location, in spite of their situation. He's going to have a team of people, a group of people, amen, that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. And this, of course, is the new standard. This is the highest form of worship. Somebody say the highest form, in spirit and in truth. So it's no longer geographically exclusive. It's no longer going to be a start and stop, here little, there little activity. Amen. It's going to be more than just a temporal, religious, or spiritual event or exercise. The worship that God is looking for is a perpetual lifestyle of worship. Somebody say a perpetual lifestyle of worship. Hallelujah. I don't just wait till Sunday to worship. I am a worshiper. I believe that I am a true worshiper. I worship God in spirit and in truth. And that is expressed in many ways and in many forms. But the bottom line is God is looking, amen, not just to save you, just so that you can remain saved, but God is wanting to raise you up and develop you so that you might be in relationship with Him, amen. Amen. And the relationship involves worship. Somebody say worship. Come on, let's all clap our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, our God is not looking for a fix. He's not just looking for a good time. He's looking for a true worshiper. He is looking not just to have a good church. He's looking to have a worshiping church. A church who is in love with Him. A church that is loyal to Him. A church that lives a life that reflects their worship and their devotion and their allegiance to God. Worship is a lifestyle. I want to say it loud and clear. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. Oh, yes, it is a way of living. Hallelujah. The reason I live this way is not just so that I can be blessed. The reason that I live this way, amen, you're seeing the byproduct of what's going on in my spirit, of what's going on in my soul. The reason I live the way that I live is because I am a true worshiper. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect, but thank God we have blood, amen, that still atones and still speaks on our behalf. Hallelujah. God isn't looking for someone just to get everything right. He's looking for someone to trust Him, to believe that He is and that He will take care of them. He is looking for relationship, and that is expressed through our worship. Hallelujah. Come on, shout worship, worship. Oh, bless the Lord. Now this, of course, just to break it down, because I use the word lifestyle. I use the word lifestyle. Let me break that down. Lifestyle involves and includes your behavior. Why do they behave such a way? Because they're worshipers. Their behavior reveals their worship. I want you to hear this. This was just downloaded in my spirit over the last, I'd say, 24 hours when I began to kind of tune my spirit in. The reason why we behave in such a way is because behavior reveals the who and the what that you worship. Huh? Our actions, let me take it a step further. Our actions, let me get a little bit more animated here. Our actions reveal the who and the what that we worship. Does that make sense? So our lifestyle is broken up into behavior, actions, attitudes, and thoughts. What I choose to think about, what I choose to meditate on. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of Psalms chapter 1? He meditates on his law both day and night. He is concerning himself with the things that please God. He wants to know God, and he wants to know how to please God. Hallelujah. So our behavior, our actions, our attitude, and our thought life, amen, reveals the who and the what that we worship. Somebody say, a lifestyle. Come on, just raise your hands and just receive that. Not just in your intellect, but let your soul absorb this great truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah, that worship, amen, needs to be more than just some religious event or activity or exercise that we engage our spirit and our bodies in on a particular day, in a particular location. Hallelujah. But the worship that God is looking for, amen, is a lifestyle of worship. Hallelujah. The way that we live really, truly, genuinely reveals who we worship. Let me say it one more time. The life that we live, the way that we live, our living reveals who we worship. So we can confess him with our mouth all we want, but if it isn't in our heart, it is vain. It is vain. Jesus said they talk about it, they claim this and they preach that with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he said that is vain worship. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that category as a vain worshiper. I want to be a true worshiper who will worship him, amen, no matter where, no matter what. Someone who can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, no matter what's going on around you, no matter who's going and who's coming. God is looking for true worshipers. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. God is on the lookout. God is on the lookout. God is on the lookout. He's calling people out of darkness, oh, into his marvelous light. Amen. And people are starting to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me just give some detail here. My even singing. Now, most of us love to sing. Some people don't love to hear us sing, but most of us love to sing. Amen. Some people just are content with hearing others sing, but I think for the most part, we all like to sing. Brother Luma likes to sing. He has a very deep baritone voice, but he likes to sing. It's not always pleasant to some, but I tell you what, God just loves it. God just eats it up because he sees the condition of his heart. Amen. God knows where that song's coming from. It's not just coming from his brain. It's coming from his spirit. Somebody say spiritual songs. Songs, amen, from my spirit. Because your spirit does go through stuff. Hello? Amen. Not just your body and your brain and your physical, natural man, but your spirit goes through stuff. Amen. The enemy tries to talk to your spirit. Hello, somebody. But what are we going to do? Amen. We're going to worship God with our spirit. Hallelujah. It's going to come from the inner core of who and what we are. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if people like what they hear. What matters is, does God like what he hears? Does he hear a joyful noise? The Bible does say make a joyful noise. Amen. So don't get mad if people don't call you to the platform to sing a special. Just concern yourself with this. I can please the Lord, and I can make a joyful noise, and God will be happy. Look at somebody and say, and God will be happy. So my giving, my singing, my praising, and my obedience. And I reiterate and reemphasize this, my obedience reveals my worship, my obedience. That's something that we have to work on every day, every day, every day. But before there is obedience, there must be submission, there must be surrender, there must be separation. I will not be able to fulfill the call, the will, the purpose, the plan, the desire of God until I learn to submit, until I learn to surrender, and until I learn to separate. Somebody say, these reveal our worship. Worship has to do with sanctification, separation, submission. So all of these things are reflection of my worship and my devotion to God. Does that make sense so far? Now, I know this is just kind of old stuff, and you know, it's just a refresher course, Amen. I need to be reminded. I need this refresher course. Amen. I got it fresh again today and of course, last night. Godly living. Say godly living. Now, I know there are some of you that have been, you have been in the church a while, and you know you've been taught how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this what? In this present world. That means on Monday on your job, when your neighbors come out and they're passing the doobie. They're passing the doobie. I know some of you don't know what that is. You can Google it later, of course. They're passing the ganji or whatever you want to call it, the joint. They're talking their talk. They're cussing. They're telling bad jokes. But what do? Do you just get mad and go pout and have a bad day? Or you just continue loving, serving, worshiping, being obedient to the Lord, keeping your attitude in check, keeping your spirit right? Hello? You ever notice that Jesus didn't change? When situations change, when storms come, when the evil men come, when the hypocrites came, Jesus never changed. He remained Jesus everywhere he went. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even up until the time where his body was offered as a sacrifice. Godly living, commitment, these reveal my worship. Do I need to go through that list again? No, you've got it. You've got it. So, Brother Sapp, or Sister So-and-so, let me just break it down and say this. A lot of times we do things because we hear it. We do things because other people in the church are doing it. So you got spiritual peer pressure. Hello? Peer pressure is peer pressure, whether it's in the world or in the house, in the church house. You know, we can provoke one another to love and to good works. We really can. You know, when everybody starts clapping the Lord, you feel kind of awkward when you're not clapping the Lord. So what do? You just start clapping your hands just like everybody else, right? And if we're all doing the hokey pokey, then you feel awkward if you're not doing the hokey pokey. So you just join in the festivity, the activity, and you just do what everybody else is doing. Can you relate to that? Of course. But I think the Lord is looking for something much deeper than that. Yes, he is. He's looking for something much deeper than that. He wants us to learn, understand, comprehend who he is. Because true worship flows from the revelation of God. That's right. True worship flows from the revelation of the Almighty God. And the greater your revelation, the greater your worship. Hello? The greater your revelation is of God, the greater or more mature your worship of God will be. Amen. When you begin to acknowledge him and perceive him and take notice of him and regard him and get alone with him in those prayer meetings, and God begins to reveal himself and talk to you and show you things, and then you get into the Word of God and you begin to see him and understand him and comprehend him and learn his ways. I'm telling you, the more you know him, the more you will be like him. The more you know him, the more you will worship him, and your life will reveal it. Amen. We live this way not because we have to, but because we want to. And we want to because we are true worshipers. We live holy. We dress modest. We give. We give. We sacrifice. We come to church and fellowship, not because we have to, but because we want to. We don't come here to get saved. We come here because we are saved. We don't come here just to worship, as if worship is a Sunday thing, but we come here because we are worshipers and we want to worship God with our brothers and with our sisters. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes. So my giving, my singing, my obedience, my submission, my separation from the world, these things just simply reveal who I worship. Look at somebody and tell them, the world needs to know that you're a true worshiper. Hallelujah. Because if the world doesn't know that you're a true worshiper, then they will never know who to worship. And guess what? If they don't know that you're a true worshiper, there is coming a day where they're going to worship a false Christ. And many of them are already worshiping a false Christ. But we are not. We are the people of the name of Jesus. We have been called out of darkness. Amen. We know who we worship. Salvation has come to our house. Yes, it started with the Jews, but it has come to us. And we have been grafted in. And now that we are in this light, we are worshipers in spirit and in truth. We ought to put your hands together and praise the Lord once again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So the reason I live this way, the reason you live the way that you live, it should be because you are a true worshiper. And many, well, I don't want to use the term many, but some, if you'll ask young people when they're at an age where they just don't understand certain things, they may reply to you that, well, I do this and I don't do that and I don't go there because my daddy or my mama or my preacher or my church teaches such, either to do or not to do. But there's going to come a day where they're going to respond very differently. They're going to respond and say, they're not going to say, well, I don't do this because my church is against it. They're going to say, I don't do that because I'm a worshiper of God. I don't do those things because I am a worshiper of God. I don't go to certain places because I am a worshiper of God. Hallelujah. Sunday is not just a worship day. Every day is a day to worship because every day is a day to live. And the Bible says, in Him I live and I move and I have my being. Hallelujah. So my lifestyle is my worship to God. We ought to clap our hands again. My lifestyle, my way of living, my attitude, my conduct, my behavior. Oh, yes, that is my worship to God. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Praise the Lord. My, my, my. Can we just lift our hands to Him tonight? Come on. I don't want to just have a service of hype. I want the word of the Lord to be revealed to us. I want the heart and the desire of God to be revealed to us tonight. Come on, this is something that we must remember when we're going through hard times, when we're going through difficult situations. We've got to remember we're children of God. We worship God. We worship God with our lives. Hallelujah. With our conduct, our behavior. Amen. Our decisions and our choices should reveal who we worship. Hallelujah. And who we love. Oh, for the Bible teaches, love not the world nor the things that are in this world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And these things will pass away and the lust thereof. But I'm telling you, there is a people that will abide forever. Amen. Who are those people? They are the true worshipers, because true worshipers will live a life of obedience. And they that obey His word will abide forever. They will live forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because obedience is the result. It is the evidence of my worship. Come on, praise the Lord again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. I have hope in him. Oh, praise God. Holiness not just in dress, but in attitude. Holiness not just in dress, but in attitude. Holiness in our minds, in our hearts, and in our tongues. Because if we dress right, but we have all kind of garbage coming out of our mouths and gossip and jealousy, you are not holy at all. No, no, no. You're just a whited sepulcher is all you are. Amen. But if you get the inside right, the outside will be right. Some people, just like the days of Jesus, he dealt with it in his church of old. Hello, Judaism. They learned how to look the part and play the part, but they had a heart condition. But what the Lord was doing here on this mountain is he was checking the heart of Abraham. He was checking his heart gauge, his heart, not heart gauge, but his, what do you do it when you test hearts? Huh? I guess you could say heart monitor, heart rate, heart condition, EKG, yeah. He was checking his heart out. Because on the outside, it appeared that Abraham had everything together. But he wanted to see what was in his heart. He wanted to see the true attitude and the true posture of his spirit. And what happened? What happened? Abraham is there. And if we can get a keyboardist, a piano, pianist, organist, Sister Maynard, thank you so much. Thank you, Brother John, for releasing her into her ministry. Amen. I love you. I'm picking. Praise God. But seriously, here this man of God is. He is on that mountain. He's on that mountain, Brother Fuller. You watching? You listening? He's on the mountain. He builds the altar. You know, he had to cut his own wood. He had to cut his own wood. And had the two guys to help him and his son. So they make, can you imagine? Abraham and Isaac, they have wood, they have their torch, their fire, and they're climbing a mountain. To me, that would be very difficult. And they left the donkey and the two young men down at the base of the mountain, and they went up. Somebody say, it cost. It's a sacrifice. Energy involved. Energy required. So they went up. And he erects this altar. He ties up his son and puts him on the altar. He has the fire, and he's getting ready to slay his own son. And the angel, somebody say, there's a manifestation of God. You notice when we move in the right direction, there will always be a manifestation of God. We're always wanting the move of God, but God's saying, I want a move of the church, because if my church will learn the direction that they need to move, I will manifest. And when I manifest, powerful things, miraculous things will happen. And so he's there, and the angel speaks up and says, hey, do thy son no harm. For now I have checked your heart. I've tested you. I've tried you. And I have discovered what is in your heart. And now I know that thou fearest God. That you have the holiest, deepest regard, reverence, and respect for God. To the degree that you would sacrifice the thing that you love the most in this physical world. And then all of a sudden, he turns and he sees a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. True worshipers will always discover the Jireh in the Jehovah. That's right. True worshipers need not worry, need not fret about tomorrow, about things, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drive, what bed you're going to sleep in. True worshipers don't have to worry about that, Because true worshipers always find the Jehovah Jireh. God is a faithful provider for his own. Somebody say that's an incredible benefit of being a true worshiper. Divine provision. And the result, the end result is the Lord said, because thou hast done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thy only son. That, listen, this is what he said. I want you to reach out and claim this. I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now and just claim this for yourself. That in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obedience is the true evidence of who you worship. Close with this verse. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, and that is saying those that are not free from sin, because we have all sinned, but we don't continue in sin. Now we know that God heareth not those who continue in a lifestyle of sin, those that are not free from sin. But listen, but if any man, everybody say, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Him he will always attend to. That's right. He will always attend to those who are true worshipers and those who obey his will. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a way of living. Can we lift our hands again to the Lord? It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. The way we live, the way we handle ourselves, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we handle life's situations, the way we handle people, the way we handle others, our relationships. Come on, God is wanting to mature us, to take us to that highest level, the highest level of worship, and that is in spirit and in truth, which is revealed through obedience. Just utter obedience. Just total obedience. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, reach out to the Lord for your own self. Oh yes, oh yes. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could time. I want to live the way. I want to give. I want to give until there's just no more. I want to love. I want to love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the joy of intimate relationship and fellowship and worship. Worship that is acceptable to God. Come on, worship that is acceptable to God. It requires all of you. It requires your entire being, your body, as that living sacrifice. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My body, my life is a living sacrifice. And it should be holy and acceptable unto God. Come on, somebody say, that's worship. Woo, come on, one more time, say, that's worship. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Yes, 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 I give, I give, I give, I give. I don't just give my time, I give my talent, my treasure. Hallelujah, because all that I have is thine. It's thine, it's thine, it's thine. Amen. And if I'm able to work a job and maintain a business and be able to multitask, it's because God has touched my mind. He's touched my body. He's given me the strength and the skill to do it. It all belongs to Him. Oh, yes. Worship. Worship the Lord. Somebody's hand. Grab somebody's hand. Just lift it up one more time. Oh, we come to worship. Worship. Worship the Lord. There's power. There's power here. Come on, Jehovah Jireh. Come on, there's provision. There's provision for you. There's provision for you. Come on, don't let the enemy take your worship. The great I am. He's the great I am. He's the great I am. Come on, shout it one more time. He's the great I am. He's the great.
Please close in a word of prayer this evening. And I want you to just close your eyes and imagine that it's just you and your Father in heaven. And there's nobody next to you, nobody in front of you, nobody behind you. It's just you and the Father. And just begin to speak to Him. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for your most awesome presence and your power, Lord God, that you would sit next to me and that I could be called your son and bear your holy name. Oh, Father, I submit, I surrender everything that I own, that I am, that I've ever desired to be, Lord. And I thank you for all that you've made me, Lord. I thank you for all that you've put before me, and I thank you for all that you've put behind me, Lord Jesus. I open my heart to you, Lord. I stand before this people, Lord, and I ask you to just open the storehouses of heaven upon them. Let your mercies and your grace fill this place, Lord God. Let the atmosphere of every person in this place, the atmosphere of their homes, the atmosphere of their work, Lord God, let it be changed and be made holy as the ground that Moses stood upon. Let every person in this place be able to see the burning bush before them and to hear your heavenly voice in their lives, in their prayers when they try to seek and touch you, Lord God. I ask that you reveal yourself to them in the most supernatural way, Lord God, that you would change their lives, change their thoughts, change their desires and their prayers, oh God. Oh Lord, I thank you. I humble myself before you. Have your mighty way in this church and every life and every house. Hold every family represented here, Lord God. Oh, we surrender, Jesus. I thank you and I worship you. If you just lift up your voice and worship him, if you just give him a shout of praise, just cry out to him like you never cried out to him before. He wants to do something in our lives. He's not withholding from us. Oh, he's faithful. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshiped. Lift up your voices. Oh, there's a blessing. There's a word. There's a revelation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Trahan. Man, you're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Go. Take the blessing of the Lord. Take the goodness of God and share it with the world. Amen. Jesus is worth sharing. Hallelujah.